Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Verses 1 through 22, Hebrews chapter 11. Then looking briefly in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, thank you once again for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the counsel, the encouragement that's found in your word. Thank you for the ways that your word blesses us, guides us, and empowers us to be faithful ambassadors for your kingdom, listening to you, listening to your wisdom, and being guided and empowered by it moment by moment. With every passing day, Lord, more and more, help us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you'd have us to be, courageously carrying the gospel to a world that desperately needs to hear it, courageously making disciples, and courageously standing for life. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege of doing these things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we're so thankful that we can come before you today, that we are in your presence, in the presence of a holy God, and we recognize it's because of the fact that we're covered in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift high his name today, Father. We're thankful for precious Jesus, who is willing to die on the cross for us. Father, we pray for our listening family, for all the different needs out there, that you will be close to them, that you will be their provider, that you will be the one who mends their relationship if there's a broken relationship. Those who don't know you as their Savior, Father, we pray that you would rescue them. You would send people their way to share the gospel, or that, Father, give them ears to hear as they read your word, and just that they would cling to you, that they would live their lives for you. They would cast their lives on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family here on American Family Radio. We appreciate you listening to the Hour of Intercession. And a matter I'd like to mention in the way, well, to ask for prayer about, I'm asking our listeners if you would pray much for us. My wife Bertie and I will be traveling to Canton, Texas this weekend. I have the privilege of speaking at the fundraising gala that Hope Pregnancy Center in Canton, Texas will be having. And so I ask that you pray for the Lord to anoint the event, to anoint it and greatly prosper it spiritually and financially, that this pregnancy clinic would be well equipped spiritually and financially to be the entity and the ministry God would have it to be. Please pray for a mighty anointing on the whole event. And let us all continue to pray much for the cause and the work of every pregnancy clinic out there. Every pregnancy ministry is doing a great job to help both save babies, save women, and save families as well. And they need your prayers as well as your financial support. So I hope that you'll prayerfully consider becoming one who is praying daily for the work in the ministry of your local pregnancy clinics. And also that you prayerfully consider giving generously to help support the great work these ministries are doing. We'd like to continue to remind and encourage you to go to the AFA, visit the AFA Resource Center. You can visit the AFA Resource Center, where you'll find lots of features and items, products that can help to equip you and your family in your daily walk with the Lord. You'll find a number of resources and some outstanding books as well. I'd like to mention specifically a couple books that I've written, I've had the privilege of putting in the bookstore. The first one, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And the second book is The Intercession Chronicles. Both of them are discipleship tools. The first one is a discipleship tool to help equip you as a believer, much better equipped to be involved with the great work of standing for life and coming against the tragedy of abortion and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Hope that you'll make it your goal to get the book and use it, read it, and allow it to be a tool to help equip you to be an ambassador in God's kingdom, standing for life that he wants you to be. And the book, The Intercession Chronicles, is a great tool to help set your prayer life on fire. Hope that you'll consider getting that as well. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. And today here on the broadcast, specifically, we're focusing on the topic, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And one of our goals is to encourage you to seek the Lord passionately to find out what he'd have you to do to help to get involved with the work of standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. How important it is that we are believers that recognize this is a very serious issue in our culture today. And as many of us are very much aware that, you know, the life issue is very much in the news after Texas did pass the heartbeat bill that they passed. It's been in the national news significantly in a number of instances. and with the Mississippi case that's about to be heard before the High Court, the cause of life again is on the minds of lots and lots of people in our culture and in our nation. So as we share on the broadcast today, I'm going to be sharing some articles that I've written that have appeared on the AFA Stand. And let me mention, I want to make each of the articles available to you if you'd like to get one or all of the ones that we share today. Please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to share them with you. But one of the goals is the articles would help you to be better informed, educated about the life issue from a Bible perspective, and to help you to become a better equipped warrior to be involved with the work of standing boldly for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. And so as we begin, this first article is entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. Again, Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. Exodus 20, verse 13 tells us, "You shall not murder." Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 tell us, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. "They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 through 38. And then in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Again, Isaiah 5:20. Once again, the life issue is heavily in the news. After Texas passed and enacted a recent heartbeat bill, and with the Mississippi case that is about to be heard before the High Court, the cause of life is very much on the minds of the people of our nation. Many are excited about the progress for the cause of life that is being made, and many others are very upset and disturbed about the recent developments in support of life. Why is the passion so strong on both sides? Many in our culture believe that the Word of God is true and is to be our standard. Many believers see the Word of God as our bottom line for right and wrong, as found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, the Ten Commandments. Faithful followers of Christ see that every life conceived is a precious life, a life made in the image of God, and they recognize that we are called to stand boldly and passionately for life, as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us. Tragically, there are many politicians, religious leaders, and other individuals who are demonically driven and ideologically misled, who stand for the quote-unquote right to take the life of innocent children at will. Possibly one of the most tragic realities surrounding the Roe v. Wade decision is this truth. The decision to legalize abortion was from the beginning wicked, misguided, and just wrong on so many counts. Abortion is the deliberate and planned killing of an innocent human being. Well, the deliberate and planned killing of a human being is first-degree murder. And first-degree murder has been against the law for a long time. Yet, through Roe v. Wade, it was decided that the specific form of murder that we call abortion was now, quote-unquote, acceptable and legal. We'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession today as we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. We'll be right back.
So caught up that I couldn't find a way out, yeah. hold this heart of mine. It's you. It's you. Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
The music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to send boldly for life. And we're sharing from some of the articles that we've written on the topic of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. We're now going through the article entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. And we pick up close to where we left off before the break. Faithful followers of Christ see that every life conceived is a precious life, a life made in the image of God. And they recognize that we are called to stand boldly and passionately for life, as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us. Tragically, there are many politicians, religious leaders, and other individuals who are demonically driven and ideologically misled who stand for the quote-unquote right to take the life of innocent children at will. Possibly one of the most tragic realities surrounding the Roe v. Wade decision is this truth. The decision to legalize abortion was from the beginning wicked, misguided, and just wrong on so many counts. Abortion is the deliberate and planned killing of an innocent human being. Well, the deliberate and planned killing of a human being is first-degree murder. And first-degree murder has been against the law for a long time. Yet through Roe v. Wade, it was decided that the specific form of murder that we call abortion was now, quote-unquote, acceptable and legal. Again, Roe v. Wade should have never happened. The Word of God very clearly and plainly states, you shall not murder in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Murder always has been and always will be wrong. Taking the life of innocent human beings is wrong in every instance. Roe v. Wade was a wicked decision on the part of the High Court. And the sooner we as a nation correct this error, the better off our nation will be. Not only should it be overturned, again, it should have never happened. After almost 50 years since the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down, we have seen the quote-unquote legal slaughter of more than 63 million innocent babies. All those lives have been lost after a few people in high places decided that when murder happens by way of abortion, it's acceptable and legal. Without question, Roe v. Wade is a wrong that definitely needs to be righted. There is not a right way to do wrong. Recently, after Texas passed and enacted their recent heartbeat bill, the president issued this statement. We will launch a whole of government effort to respond, looking at what steps we can take to ensure that Texans have access to safe and legal abortions. Question, how can anyone ever call a procedure safe that always results in the brutal murder of an innocent baby 100% of the time? In other words, how do you safely murder an innocent human being? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 tells us again, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's so much spiritual blindness on the part of many who are irate at the thought of ending legalized abortion. Why are they so angry? What will happen if they don't get what they want? This is what will happen. Many babies will live. Many babies will get a chance to live a full and productive life. Many children will be afforded the opportunity to fulfill their God-ordained destiny in life. How can people rage and fume when the unborn are afforded the opportunity to be born and live? Again, that article was entitled Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article, please email us. Simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send you a copy of that article. Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your spirit at work in our nation and in our world. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us as your church to stand up for right and to stand against wrong. Father, we've come and first confessed, Father, we as a nation and as a people, we have sinned terribly. We have slaughtered your children. We have slaughtered them indiscriminately and tragically for so many selfish reasons. And we've sinned against you, and we have blood on our hands as a nation and as a people. Father, by faith, We repent and we turn from that wrong. Lord, we've sinned against you desperately, and Father, we repent. Forgive us, Lord, for these wrongs, and stir us as the church to rise up and to stand for what's right. Help us as a church to speak loud and boldly against this and to do what you'd have us to do to help bring the tragic evil of abortion to an end. Help us to be just without apology about the fact that we recognize that life is precious and life is created by you, and human beings have no right to deliberately take the lives of innocent babies. Stir us, anoint us afresh with the spirit of courage and boldness as the church to stand and be what you want us to be, to speak and speak what you want us to speak, and to do what you've called us to do, to stand for life. Lord, thank you for the ending of Roe v. Wade. Thank you for the ending of legalized abortion in our nation. We give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And there are more with us than there are with them. Help us to be mindful of that. And Lord, help us to pray and believe with that understanding. And I thank you, Lord, for how that legalized abortion has come to an end completely. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're looking today at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And the next article we'd like to share is entitled, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. Again, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And let me just mention, this particular article has quite a few different scriptures that help bear out the truth that God's word clearly comes against abortion. God's word in no way supports it, but it clearly lets us know abortion is wrong 100% of the time. Again, this article is entitled, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective in thinking about life and thinking about life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and thoughts about these matters? Just look in his book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel, his thoughts, and his will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 tells us, you shall not murder. Proverbs 24, verse 12 tells us, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 tell us, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Then in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, we're told, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, anyone of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Molech, to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Then Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it tells us, You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 20 and 21 tell us, "And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them?" Again, Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. Psalm 106, verses 37 through 38. "They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood." Then in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Again, Jeremiah 32, verse 35. I'm going to read that verse again. It's such a powerful verse. Again, Jeremiah 32, 35. "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Again, Jeremiah 32, the verse 35. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and Matthew 2, 16 through 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life. Standing up for life and standing against abortion, these are just a few. But they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of His will, His perspective, and His thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we passionately get involved in aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment for the cause of life? Here are a few ways we all can get involved. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help with their ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers. Inquire about the possibility of your church putting the local pregnancy center into its church budget. Number two, take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing great work to stand for life, to help save babies, and or to help end legalized abortion. Number three, educate yourself about every facet of the issues surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there is much ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion. Great is the need for the church to become educated spiritually and otherwise about this issue and to get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle. Every day counts. Can God count on you? Again, the title of that particular article is "The Bible, Life, and Abortion." Again, if you'd like to get a copy of it, email me at jparker@afa.net. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us clear counsel, insight, and understanding that abortion is wrong in every situation, in every circumstance. And help us to know, Lord, that our goal is to stand for life and help to end the tragedy of abortion. Father, for persons that have gone down that road already, Lord, help them to know clearly that your word has said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help those persons to know clearly, Lord, that there's forgiveness. If we simply confess our sins to you and repent and ask your forgiveness, you'll forgive and cleanse and heal persons of this sin. And Lord, help them to recognize that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to fully receive the forgiveness and cleansing that only Christ can provide. Father, I break the power of Satan over every unsaved person listening. Send them along in their paths who will clearly proclaim the gospel to them. Draw them to yourself. Save them. Help them to fully receive your forgiveness and healing power. And help them to walk in your forgiveness. And help them to become vessels through which your Spirit can work mightily to point others to life, to Jesus Christ and to life, and to stand the importance of standing for life and the importance of standing against abortion. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be soldiers in your army to accomplish your great work and will. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, with every passing day, more and more, cause your anointing upon the church to rise and to grow stronger and greater, that we would be more and more the equipped church you call us to be, to carry the gospel to the world and to share the message of life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us.
Music from the Walls Group, a song simply entitled The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. And we've been sharing from some articles that we've written about this very important topic. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get some of these articles that are tools to help better equip you to be a well-equipped vessel standing boldly for life. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us once again at this time.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you bow down and listen to us, that we have your ear. We have great confidence in that based on your precious Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. Father, we pray that as we talk about this subject today, that each of us would have ears to hear what you say to us. Help us, Father, to push aside this cloak of desensitized thoughts of this subject. Father, we've heard about it so much, and it's so easy to miss the reality that it's a precious baby who's being murdered. God, help us to grasp that, to respond to that, and not just live in intentions, and not just live in agreement, but live in action in a way that pleases you. Help us to do that. Father, this is such a sensitive subject, such a hard subject, and we need the Holy Spirit power to help us move along at the pace and in the direction that you would have us to. So we bring that need to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And Father, too, thank you for every single person listening, and thank you for the opportunity we all have of being able to do whatever it is you're calling us to do, to be a part of the solution, which is Jesus Christ. Help us simply be hearers and doers of your word, to be open to doing what your word and your spirit directs us to do, to help with the importance of standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion. Stir us to recognize that one of the great needs is for us to seek to become self-educated about these issues. Help us to learn more and then to listen and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. What would you have me to do, Father, to be a part of this army standing for your kingdom and for this kingdom issue? Lord, help us to not bless so that none of us will decide that we'll simply stay on the sidelines. Help us to get involved fully as you would have us to, boldly and faithfully and passionately according to your perfect will in all these issues. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Another article we want to share is entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry Evil Twins, Against Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And let me say, as I begin to read the article starts out with some quotes from women who, by God's grace, have been rescued from the tragedy of sex trafficking, but who went through the tragedy of being forced to get abortions. And so these are the quotes from these precious young women. "When my trafficker found out that any of his quote-unquote girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term. Second, I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion. Number 3, before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 throughout the time I was trafficked until I was 23. Number 4, my trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out. Number 6, I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on the track again right afterward and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I'm happily married is too great to describe in words." What you've just read are real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking yet experienced forced abortions by their captors, their sex traffickers. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America, as well in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, and amongst other things, it's what it is amongst other things. It is evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yet sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking, as one aids and abets the other. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It is so critical that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10 and verse 10, we are told, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These two dark industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all these and all other ills of our world. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We are called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both of these dark industries. However, it is so important that we understand that we pray and then get up and do what we are called to do to help end these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against these dark industries. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they are well prepared to help educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved with sex trafficking. Pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out their vital mission. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate your church family about this issue. Find out ways to help extend the educational reach of these ministries. Also learn much more about so much of what the Ministry of Standing for Life is about. There are many great ministries that are doing great things to help the cause of life. Pregnancy help centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a child at a difficult time in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great things many believers can do to help. Volunteer your time and or help give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to pregnancy help clinics. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics that they will change their minds and keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but change their minds and decide not to abort before the procedure starts. This is the result of the people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates who work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people who stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help these women see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a very good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. Whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They are the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along and sees the same wounded individual, and he, too, passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, and helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money and time to help see after the man's needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of us in the church to go and do not as the priest or the Levite did. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. Brothers and sisters, let us love the Lord enough to do what he says. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs to see your love, your mercy, your loving kindness, your grace at work. Father, anoint us afresh as the church to be with the Spirit. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of mercy, the Spirit of compassion, the Spirit of your loving kindness. Help us to live daily lifestyles of reaching out to a hurting world that desperately needs to hear the gospel, a world that desperately needs the work of God's people doing the work of making disciples, and a world that desperately needs to see what Jesus' love looks like as we reach out to meet the needs of those who are hurting, those who are hungry, those who are going through great difficulty, those who've been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Stir us, Lord, to be the church of love, the church of mercy, the church of compassion you've called us to be, and help us to know there's so much work to be done by every single one of us in the church. Help us to be about your business every single day. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. Thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet in a world that's so, so needy of your love, your grace, and your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we've been looking today at the topic, God calls the church to stand boldly for life. Father, thank you again for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the email jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of any of the articles we shared, we're glad to share them with you. Simply email us and we'll be glad to share the articles that we shared on the broadcast today. And as usual, if you're listening today, and if you've never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, remember, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, your biggest problem in life is solved when you receive Christ. Would you want to make that step? If you'd like to make that step and ask Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior today, simply pray this prayer with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We definitely would like to share with you some spiritual growth resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. And again, if you'd like to receive a copy of any of the articles that we shared earlier today, the article's entitled, again, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. The other article, Roe v. Wade, Legalized Murder. And finally, the article entitled, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. If you'd like a copy of any or all of those articles, simply email us, same email, jparker@afa.net, and we'd be glad to share them with you. Our hope is that you'll allow them to be tools to help equip you, and hope that you'll pass them on to others so that they too can be better informed and equipped about these issues. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.